We're going to go on in our study of the larger catechism this evening to the question number 154. Number 154, what are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation? The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to his church the benefits of his mediation are all his ordinances, especially the word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. Now, the number 154 has to do with what is called the outward and ordinary means of grace. They are called outward because they are outside of us. There is another means that works inside of us, and that is the Holy Spirit, who is that inner working. And The ordinary means that these are those things that God ordinarily and normally uses to minister grace and salvation to his elect people. Not only to minister salvation, but also to minister grace to his saved people. Now, within the professing Christendom, there are basically three views of the outward, ordinary means of grace. The Roman Catholic view, they teach that the outward means of grace, or her seven sacraments, are the only means or only way of salvation, and those seven sacraments have to be administered properly by her clergy. So that is the Roman Catholic view. The Reformed theology teaches, however, that God ordinarily uses the preaching and the reading of the Scriptures and prayer to bring salvation to his elect. And he uses the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism to confer sealing, sanctifying, and strengthening grace to his elect. Now, at this point, I will quote a famous Scottish theologian by the name of Thomas Boston. Thomas Boston said this: "The sacraments are not converting ordinances." He says, they are not converting ordinances, they are sealing ordinances. So with that, let us turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. If you remember in the fourth chapter of Romans here, the Old Testament saints, Abraham and David, have been referred to already earlier in the chapter. Now it comes down to Abraham, and it says in verse 11 of Romans chapter 4, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised." Now, his circumcision did not make him righteous, but it was a seal. It was a sign and a seal of the righteousness of faith. Now, there we have the statement of Boston that the sacraments are not converting ordinances. But let us remember that God's hands are not tied. God can use the sacraments to bring his elect to faith in Christ. I've heard of people in recent years that got converted at the Lord's Supper. And I heard of a boy sitting in a church, even as the Lord's Supper was taking place, he came to Christ and believed on the Lord that very night. It was Solomon Stoddard, the grandfather of the famous Jonathan Edwards, who was converted by grace as he dispensed the sacramental elements at the Lord's table. God's sovereign grace so impacted Reverend Stoddard that he was absolutely overwhelmed at the Lord's table, melted to tears, and he became wrongly convinced right there that day that the Lord's Supper was an ordinary converting ordinance, unlike what Brother Boston and the other reformers taught. This idea of Stoddard's brought great trouble and conflict in New England. It resulted in the halfway covenant, where people that had never had any experience of conversion were allowed to come and take the Lord's Supper because they were children of parents that were converted people. And even as adults, not yet having had a conversion experience, they were allowed to take the communion. And that became a point of great division in New England. It's very interesting, though, that he got saved right there at the Lord's table. Susanna Wesley, famous as the mother of all those children and raising them in a godly manner, Susanna Wesley, in her older years, was savingly converted, taking communion in the Church of England as her son. I can't recall his name right now. It was almost on the tip of my brain earlier today. But as her son dispensed the bread to the communicants, as he passed by her, he repeated the words that Jesus had said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And Susanna Wesley, that had heard that all her life, she suddenly was soundly converted at that sacrament. And from that very moment, she became an ardent supporter of her two sons, John and Charles. She would not support their ministry at all because they were ministering outside the walls of the established church. She had not supported them for years. But at that moment, she began supporting her two sons. She was so obviously filled with the love of God that she could no longer oppose other Christians that were preaching Christ outside of her own denomination. Well, there are two views. You have the Reformed view and you have the Roman Catholic view, but there's another one. And this is the mystical view. And the sacraments, viewed as a means of grace, this mystical view is held by several groups. Two of them are the Salvation Army and the Quakers. The Salvation Army and the Quakers and these other groups do not celebrate the Lord's Supper or baptism at all. And why? Well, some look on spirit baptism as the replacement for water baptism. Very strange. And others consider the Lord's Supper completely fulfilled by Christ's cross work. But we cannot accept either the Roman Catholic view or the mystical view because both sacraments of the New Testament are clearly commanded by God to the church militant. And you know it well. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Jesus said to the apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, baptism is commanded as so necessary. Now, let me say that. Baptism is commanded as something that is necessary. It is so necessary that Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, the last part of the verse forms something of a caveat. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." So we do not read there, "He that is not baptized shall be damned." But he that believeth not shall be damned. The sacraments of the New Testament are blessed to those who look to the Lord God to make them a blessing. And those who are practicing these sacraments, celebrating the Lord's Supper, taking the Lord's Supper, being baptized, practicing these two sacraments by trusting in the Lord Himself by faith, they do not operate simply by their own power, but by the exercise of faith of those that receive them. Christ commanded His apostles in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Very important command. The only time you read this in the Gospels. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Each of these Gospels give the account of the Last Supper, the Passover and the Lord's Supper. But Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus gives that clear command. "This do in remembrance of me." And it is this commandment that is repeated in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 25. Two more times, this command of Christ regarding the Lord's Supper is given in a church. So how can those professing to be New Testament believers in this New Testament church say that the sacraments are not for this day in time? It's so ridiculous. Now, this church ordinance, these church ordinances are necessary. They are necessary. Christians are not given the liberty to just opt out whenever they choose. And I'm going to say tonight, I am not stating the case nearly as strongly as the reformers stated the case. The necessity of celebrating these two sacraments of the New Testament. Now, we have our answer here regarding the benefits. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to His church these benefits of His mediation. Okay, He mediates these benefits. So what are the benefits of Christ's mediation that come to us through these outward and ordinary means? And here is the wonderful fact. All that Christ has merited, all that He has purchased for us, all that He merited by His perfect life on this planet for 33 years, and all that He has purchased by His suffering, sacrificial death on the cross, All of these benefits are the sum total of all that is good, all that is valuable for us in this world and in the world to come. Thus, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. By the term word here, we read the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to his church the benefits of his mediation are all his ordinances, especially the word. The word. What is meant by the term word? It is the Holy Bible. Blessed is he that readeth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Now, I want to say in regard to the word that we are commanded in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. We accept the whole Bible. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. There's the command. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And do you remember the words of Jesus teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you? And this is commanded. All that is written in his book. We are to meditate in it, but we are also commanded in Paul's letter to Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God. So it is the word, even the private use of the word, in the reading of it, in the meditating on it, and in the study of it, we are commanded. It's not an option. But there's even more. The word has reference to the preaching of the word. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I say amen to that because I can remember the Sunday morning under the preaching of Christ when I was seated somewhere over here on the side in another meeting house when the preaching of the cross became to me the power of God unto salvation. And like old Susanna Wesley, I had been hearing it from the time my ears started hearing, and it took effect that morning. And look down at verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Or philosophy is that Greek word is the real basis for the idea of philosophy, wisdom. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Could anything be more foolish in the eyes of lost people than a preacher standing up, raising his voice, crying out to dead people to come alive? But it is the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching, God is pleased to save them that believe. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. Now, to whom are these outward means of grace made effectual to salvation? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Acts 2 and verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. as we read in another place in the Acts, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. To whom are the outward means of grace made effectual? They are made effectual to those whom God has ordained to eternal life. He sooner or later will bring all of those out of the estate of sin into the estate of salvation. In most cases, this is accomplished by means of the Word, prayer, and the sacraments. Now, in a sense, the Word is always used because the Word is used with the sacraments. And you think about the Lord meeting with Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Saul saw the great light and he fell down. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And of course, he was saved by that experience of meeting the Lord on the Damascus Road. But in most cases, it is through the reading or the preaching of the Word when the Lord brings souls to trust in Christ. Of course, we see the example that there are people who have been saved simply at the celebration of a sacrament. And God is not bound. He can do whatever He chooses. Although the Holy Spirit uses these ordinary means to bring His people to salvation, a lost sinner must not be passive. A lost sinner must not be passive, even though it is the sovereign God who brings His people to salvation. A lost sinner must not be passive and say, as a hyper-Calvinist would say, whatever will be, will be. And of course, that's one of the characters. Will be will in the Holy War. Will be will. Ah, well, you know, if Christ is the master and Lord of the city of men's soul, we'll follow Him. And if Diabolus has got it, then we'll follow him. Whatever will be, will be. So, no, not that. We are commanded, as we remember from last Lord's Day, in 1 Peter, or is it 2 Peter? I'm sorry. We are commanded there very clearly in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's so clear. 2 Peter chapter 1 and start with verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now there it is. That's so beautiful, because all that Christ has merited by His perfect life and by His sacrificial death, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, all these virtues that he's just mentioned, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and all of these things he's talking about. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is to be a diligent use of the means of grace. Here we have it. Number 154. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation? The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to his church the benefits of his mediation are all his ordinances, especially the Word of God, the Word, sacraments and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. Now we see also the matter of prayer. Prayer is a means of grace to salvation. Real prayer can only be addressed to the true God who is revealed in Holy Scripture. And true prayer must be asked in the name of Jesus Christ alone. This is the only way to approach the throne of God. You cannot reach him through the Virgin Mary. You cannot reach him through any of the saints. You cannot reach him through any of the angels. For we are told by the Lord himself in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And we thank God for the man in the glory. It is because he is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh that we have confidence in him, that he is there as our mediator. Now, we are commanded to pray. We are given so many commands. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, of course, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his disciples this. He had already given his people instruction in the Old Testament on that regard, so many occasions. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's one example out of the many in the Old Testament. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ye have not, because ye ask not. James chapter 4 and verse 2. So I say that the diligent, earnest, energetic, passionate use of the outward means of grace is clearly commanded. We are to apply ourselves, even as believers, to the use of the means of grace for our growth in grace. The Word, prayer, and the sacraments. Now I want to share with you what one of the old writers said in regard to this. God seldom works grace without first inclining persons to attend on Him and to wait on Him in these means for salvation. They are called ordinary means of grace. And as they have not in themselves the power to work grace without the inward and powerful influences of the Holy Spirit accompanying them, they are distinguished from that inner work and accordingly styled the outward means of grace. The use of them, the outward means of grace, is most necessary because we are commanded by God to make use of them. Everything which He has commanded is most necessary, both with respect to Himself and with respect to us. With respect to Himself, to show His authority and His love. And with respect to us, to show our love to Him and our regard for His Word and His authority. It is so important for us to use the means of grace. We need to daily use the means of grace. I was so glad to get this week another of the journables. I am thankful to those in my family who have given to me journables in the past. A journable is a little book that you take and you write the verses of Scripture from a book of Scripture on one page, and then you answer the questions on the previous page. Well, I had done one journable several years ago, and it was on the book of Acts. And now I just recently finished the book of Deuteronomy, and I sort of felt all alone in the world. And I was thinking, is anybody going to love me anymore and give me another journal? Well, they didn't. So I bought one myself. And like Jerry said, all my friends came to my aid. So in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18, the basis for all of these journables, they've got them so much, I don't, maybe the whole Bible now. I'm not sure. But I just wanted to go through the Psalms this time. So I got the first volume of Psalms, the 1 through 72. In Deuteronomy 17, 18 is a command to the kings of Israel. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Deuteronomy 17:18 is the basis for all of these little journables. And I know where the first one I got came from. Stephen Lee. Sermon Audio sent one to each of the ministers in our denomination. And, you know, I feel alone if I don't have one now. I am looking forward so much to tomorrow and beginning with Psalm 1 and writing it out. Because, you know, if you write it, Scripture writing is so important. As he says here, the king was to write out a copy of the whole law of God. Man, you know what that meant? It meant writing Genesis through Deuteronomy. Wow. To make a whole copy and to keep it before Him. And I love to do that, to write out the Scriptures, because you're looking at it, you're thinking about what you're writing down, and then you're answering questions about it. And then after that, you're ready to go and study the Word and just enjoy the Lord in His Word and to seek Him. What a blessing it is. And we need to avail ourselves of His Word every day, to read it, to meditate on it, and, you know, writing it and going back and answering the questions helps. But it's also a means of grace, a forgotten means of grace, is discussing it with one another. There's recently been a book published by a lady from California, no less than California, and very good reformed book regarding conference, meeting with one another and discussing the Word of God. Going back to the book of Malachi, yeah, in the little book of Malachi, it draws its source from what Malachi says here. And, where is it here? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, you should always remember 3:16. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they're so amazing because the Puritans wrote a lot about conferencing. And they didn't necessarily mean you invite a bunch of preachers to come and preach to you and have a conference. But what the Puritans meant by conferencing with one another is discussing. You're growing in the Lord, what you're getting from the Word, and any of the struggles that you're going through personally in your Christian experience. That's what the Puritans meant. And so many of the Puritans, they would just constantly talk about this conferencing. And so I'm glad to have one of those books about the forgotten means of grace, conferencing. So we can talk about it. Well, what a blessing it is to use the means that God